This is Taylor Clark. You're listening to KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend, and we are here for Bureaucracy Now. And John and I messed up. I thought we were going to be here live in the studio, and he is busily waiting for me on Zoom. So I think we have you on Zoom there. John, can you hear me? No. How about...
Billy, you can hear me.
That one. Okay.
Hello. Do you hear me now?
I can, and so can everybody in Port Townsend.
Hey, all right. Taylor, what I love about you, one of the many things is that you'll just figure it out. And I don't make things easy by changing my whereabouts last minute. So
yeah,
thank you.
I had the door propped open and the dog was guarding the door. We were expecting you here live in the studio.
I'm sorry. I am a full honest mistake here. I was just literally only moments ago on a tour with USDA Rural Development State Director, Commissioner Kate Dean, and a few others.
Yeah.
And we were at the Evans Vista property, and we had a little snafu, and anyway, decided that this would be best, as well as the fact that I have a guest here today, and
She's
coming by Zoom.
Who do we have with us today, John?
We have Beulah Kingsolver, who's the Executive Director of Dove House Advocacy Services, and it's a real pleasure to have her with us today. Well, hi, Beulah.
Hi, Beulah.
Hello.
Thank you for joining us here on KPTZ.
Well, thanks for inviting me.
What are we talking about today, John?
Well, I think there's a nexus here.
Let's back up a minute and just say I think we both ought to say a big thank you to Tim Quackenbush, who has chosen to step back from doing Bureaucracy Now after doing it for 2 years with you in the pandemic.
Yeah.
And but I'm glad you're still with us. And Tim asked if I would be willing. I host it occasionally, but if I'd be willing to step up and do it all the time. And I said, to chance to talk to John every week? Heck yeah.
Oh, wow. I was mainly nervous that you would say no way.
No way. So. Well, but if you keep changing where you're going to be, I might.
Well, yeah, a huge thanks to Tim. For
KPTZ
community, to our wider community. And he tolerated me for 2 straight years. So that's like a special prize.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, Bureaucracy Now rolls on here, both live in the studio and on Zoom. Today, guests can join via Zoom, although we don't have the URL on our website as usual.
Yeah, that would be my fault. but we are here, and we can get into a regular groove later. The other thing I was thinking about too, Taylor, and I didn't really have a chance to communicate with KPTZ appropriately here, is when we see a new surge in cases of COVID, it just makes me think about the impacts on other people. And here at the city, we're not changing any. You know, there's no local mask mandates or anything like that. But we are advising people to mask up if they're in congregate settings, just because we are at over 300 cases. Per 100,000. So part of it's to protect the amazing KPTZ crew.
Well, and we feel that way too, because we have to be here in the studio, and it's a small space. You probably noticed I had the window wide open. I was ready.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, this is probably too much to disclose, but like my daughter has a sniffles, and we all did the full tests and everything, but you just never know. So anyhow, thanks for being so flexible, and welcome to Beulah.
Welcome to Beulah. Yes.
Yeah. So Taylor, I was just up at Evans Vista. We were talking about housing with the state USDA director. It was a great conversation about collaboration. And I mentioned Dove House there because A, I said I have to run to get on the show. And then B, Beulah and Dove House is just one of many organizations who have been very helpful in the very early stages of us thinking through what could Evans Vista look like. And instead of talking all about that here, it's a little bit of an opportunity to shine light on Dove House and the work that Beulah and her team do. And before we do that, I just a huge amount of gratitude to be able to get a site tour with Beulah and actually see on the ground the facilities, the work, the staff. And I have to say, I walk away inspired and really compelled to make sure the community knows how great Dove House is and the work that they do.
So you were touring Dove House or Evans Vista?
Evans Vista today, Dove House a few weeks ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what did you see there?
Well, maybe I could just turn it into a question and say to Beulah,
tell us.
Can you give anybody who doesn't know how Dove House works, can you give us the overview of what you do?
Sure, I would love to. So Dove House is basically, the easiest way to describe it is, your victim service center for Jefferson County. So we serve anybody who's been a victim of any crime and or family, friends that's been impacted by crime. The tour that I was privileged to give John, as well as other community members, was of our shelter where we house families of victims of domestic violence and single people. We house all genders, all ages, all capabilities. And the great thing about our shelter, I think that people are surprised, and John can tell me if this was his experience, is that it doesn't look like what you would imagine a shelter to look like. It looks more like a home. It's a big old home with everybody has their own rooms or a suite. Everybody has their own bathrooms. They share a big, beautiful kitchen that Little and Little helped us remodel right before the pandemic. We have a view of the water, a great yard, and it's just a really good place to come and be after you've been through so much trauma of someone you love, and a place to heal. And right now they stay there a long time because we have no housing in Jefferson County.
Right. Yeah.
So when I first started this position, I think about 12 years ago, you know, it was people were there a few weeks. We could move them into one of our low income or a housing place in our community. And now our average stay is about 100, sometimes as long as 200 days. So we try to make it a place where they can actually live and grow and feel good about. And then our community building is up by the hospital. So we're the only building up here that's not a hospital building, is the easiest way to describe it. We're kind of the standalone. We're not part of Jefferson Community Hospital, which is a great partner, and we're in a great space for them to be next to. But that's where we see people who just might need help for a variety of things. And we do most of our case management here in our local hospital, as well as groups. And then we have transitional housing above us. And then I would say the one building we didn't take a tour of, but I don't know if John's been there yet, is our newest program, which is the Recovery Cafe, is
right down the street here from the radio station. Yes. And you've remodeled it. I think it used to be a service station, but it isn't a service station anymore. Well, it is.
Service station to serve humans, maybe.
Yeah. It has some very interesting architecture with little tippy sections, and it's very cool building. It's on the corner of, Kern, that's not the, what's
Kern, Kern and 19th maybe?
That's what I'm trying to say.
Right by you.
Right by me, yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of an overhaul view of what Dove House does in general speaking. Mm-hmm. A lot of what we do is helping people get from trauma into safe housing and get the services in place. So we work with, you know, we work really closely with Discovery Behavioral Health. Their real team, I have to say, the newest program they have has just been amazing working with them. It's like that gap we've had, they're filling it so beautifully. If you're not aware of that program, that would be a great program to have on your station to talk about. They're fantastic. And then we work with everybody in our community from Kitsap Bank helps us teach a financial class to people to learn how to fix their credits, get ready. We've had several people move from us into Habitat Housing. So we just work with pretty much everybody across our county.
It's great. Oh, go ahead, Taylor.
I was just going to say, this is the safety net that we talk about, is this is where people really, really need help and they don't know where to go. This is a place that they could go. And if you can't help them directly, you can help them find somebody who can, I would think.
Yeah, that's kind of our philosophy is, you know, nobody goes away without any sort of service. And it might be just a phone call to OLECAP. Mm-hmm. It might be, you know, yesterday we had one of the local sheriff's departments in our office to do a police report. He actually came in here, worked with the client and took the police report actually in our office. Happens very often with both the city police and the sheriff department. They just that extra little support when you're reporting something that's so traumatic, and usually something with a family member. So you need that actual support.
Right. And the police report's an important part of the process to document what's going on. And I would say that would be hard to do, to have to then say, hey, this is not right. And to be able to sit in a place where you're comfortable and supported and then be able to explain to the police officer, this is what happened. Yeah.
That would, yeah. I think it says how great our small community is, that our officers, both from the county and the city, yeah. are willing, you know, and make that and make it happen and come here.
Yeah.
So that's really cool.
That is good.
I also say when I got a chance to walk through briefly with Beulah and just what really sort of hits right in the gut is like what kind of challenges they deal with, but also what every little thing in the physical environment says about respecting the dignity of the person. And I know, Beulah, you speak very eloquently, more so than I, about this, but you know, so much thought given to things that you wouldn't think about, you know, fixtures and lighting and just the physical layout of a space. But there's a lot of care there that really came through to me very, very strong when I was walking through, of the philosophy is an embedded element of the place.
So it's not a cold place. There's a warmth to it. Is that what you're saying, John?
And then some. Yeah. I feel like there's a level of care, there's warmth, but it's like, you know, how do we treat people with respect and dignity and help those who might be in most need or at the time of most crisis in their life? And it's done with a lot of care.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say that's pretty high priority for our staff. You know, we always feel like the people who walk through our doors are heroes, right? Because how much courage it must take mm-hmm. to walk through a door and say, this is happening to me. And can you help me? So we want to honor that and then make sure that they're served in the highest level we can to help them. And we try to do that with our buildings also. All three of our buildings weirdly have a view of the water, which is kind of cool.
Well, we are in Port Townsend.
We are in Port Townsend.
I believe so I have a view of the water.
Having that view, right? Some it's days important. It's like, just feels so good. So I think that's a really honorable part of our community too, is having that space. And, you know, we do little things like making sure everybody has a park pass so that they can enjoy our beaches. Cause we take that for advantage. Like I go out to Fort Worden anytime I want, mm-hmm. but the families I work with may not be able to afford that $30 pass.
And oh, you so have a park pass sure. you can loan.
Oh no, we give them one for them. We buy them park passes.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
That's right? a really good thing. Wow.
Well, it was one of those realizations we had talking with the family, like, how can we help? And one of the children actually was like, well, we wanted to go to the beach, but we didn't have the money. Just start thinking about how we take advantage of those little things that for me and you seem like normal, right? But this family didn't have the $30 to go out to Fort Worden whenever they wanted.
John, I see what you mean. If each piece is selected, that's a very thoughtful helping hand to lend. You know, you ran through pretty quickly some of the services you provide. Can you go through those a little slower? And I'm thinking, I'd like to look at two things. I want to look at as somebody who might potentially need to contact you. Let's talk about what you can do and how they might go about contacting you. And then the second thing is, let's talk about what the community can do to support Dove House, because this is, you know, this is something that as a community we do support, but how can people get involved with that? I think those are my two questions. So the first question was, what can, you know, if I might, you know, not me, but if somebody needed to contact you, what sort of services would you provide and how would they go about getting those?
So the easiest way to contact us is we have a 24/7 crisis line.
Ah, good.
And so that phone number is 360-385-5291. And it is manned by either a trained volunteer or one of my staff, and it's available 24/7. We also have a walk-in policy where people can walk into our community office, and we'll do our best to see them right away. Mm-hmm. And then the other place right now is walking into the cafe.
Into the recovery cafe.
Yes. And we're open Wednesday
and 19th. We got it now.
Right. Yeah, okay. Right. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday there in the afternoons. And either one of the staff there will be able to serve you, or they'll get an advocate from our community office down to serve you at the cafe. So that's the easiest way to get us is just call us, tell us what you're looking for. We don't have a waiting list. Usually we can see someone within a week, maybe the next week, but we're pretty good at getting people service and appointments right away. Mm-hmm. We are open, but we do ask people to mask, and we ask if you're not vaccinated, you know, can we do it via Zoom, or we're doing a lot of telephones, communication. We kind of went that way in the pandemic. And we are going to maintain phones and Zoom because what we've found is we can really serve people over in Brennan and Quilcene. Mm-hmm. Where we were not able to always serve them because of transportation costs
right. And
time. So that's a good part. And basically we can help with most things or refer you to the correct place. But if you're a victim, if you've had a violence in your family, or maybe you're an adult and you've been dealing with violence from your childhoods coming back, we work with a lot of adult sexual survivors that had incest as children. Mm-hmm. And we have groups, support groups. So I would say phone call is the easiest way to reach us.
And that number, and the number was 360-385-5219.
5291.
Thank you. 5291.
I do that all the time. Yeah, that's the easiest way to reach us. And then you'll meet somebody who will, you know, brainstorm with you, talk with you, and then move forward on what kind of an appointment would be appropriate for you.
Okay. Mm.
This isn't like a 2 or 3 minute question, Taylor, because I know that we're already coming up against
the
broadcast. But maybe just to kind of tease some ideas out there, maybe make a little bit of a statement first. It was great to be in the same meeting room all messed up and everything, but with the CEO of the hospital and his team, you know, county commissioner and public works director for their team, my new parks and director of parks and recreation strategy, Carrie Height. And really talking about how we work together on a number of fronts. And it came down to so many common denominators around childcare, around housing, around services, around the proposition for families, young people, and activity in town. It's always rewarding to be sitting around the table with people who want to collaborate. One of the slides, I believe that either Mike Glenn or Commissioner Dean showed on the screen was just showing how things have changed since COVID. And you know, it's not like they've gotten better in terms of housing affordability, inequality, et cetera. And so I guess the question, you know, that Julie, you know, it's light touch here, but how have you seen the change since the pandemic? And what do you anticipate being a change in your requirements and needs as you move forward? I can't imagine that trauma's gotten any easier since the start of the pandemic.
No.
No, I would say, right now opening up, we're actually seeing a lot more right now, I think, because people were kind of hanging on. At the beginning of the pandemic, one of the things that happened was our jail closed, and so that was different because that kind of had been a safety plan for lots of people. And now they were only putting in jail the very most dangerous, which made perfect sense, trying to keep people safe. But it did change how we did services a little bit, just because people weren't in jail as often. You know, you might get arrested and get released quicker than you would have normally or something. So that was a huge change. Violence in time of stress increases.
Yeah.
Our schools, that everybody had more single moms. We work with a lot of single moms. And so I think the schooling change was huge. Not kids not being back in school. I would say the positive for the pandemic, because some things we're keeping, like I said, are we're going to continue to do groups virtually.
Yeah.
We have some therapists now we contract with that are going to stay with us for virtual. Mm-hmm. And that's going to give people services that they didn't have before. So there's some, you know, things that we learned. All of my team learned how to do virtual meetings, and they're going to keep it and they like it. And I think that's helpful for us because we have a big county. You know, mm-hmm. we serve people all the way out to the whole reservation.
Sure.
And so this will make it much easier for that. Mm-hmm. So did that answer your question kind of, John?
Yeah, I just wanted to make people understand how, you know, it just compounded with challenges, but I really like the silver lining bright spot at the end. That was well done.
I like that.
Yeah, I'm a silver lining person.
So am I.
Okay, we are actually just in our last half minute here, John. And I would say Beulah Kingsolver, thank from Dove House. Thank you for joining us, and John, thank you for bringing her. And I was a little surprised. I had other questions.
Taylor, okay. We'll get to them next week. I do want to roll out some guests, but as you're now new in the chair, I want to make sure that you have ample opportunity to fire away your curiosities.
I'm curious about some things. So
I bet you are.
So we'll do that next Thursday at 12:30. We do this every Thursday, 12:30, 12:30 until 12:55, and then Blues Journey comes on. So, John, until next week, thank you so much for joining us. And Beulah, thank you for joining us, too.
Great to see you both.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.